HR Info. Das Interview.
Mit Paula Hawkins. Als Girl on the Train, Kürzel GOT, erschien, passierte etwas sehr Seltenes. Der Thriller der Britin wurde umgehend zum Bestseller. Inzwischen hat sich das Buch über 20 Millionen Mal weltweit verkauft und wurde mit Emily Blunt in der Hauptrolle auch zum Kinoerfolg. Auch im Nachfolgeroman Into the Water, Traue keinem, auch nicht dir selbst, bleibt Paula Hawkins ihrem Grundmotiv treu. Frauen, die nicht in ein konventionelles Leben passen. Die Gleichberechtigung von Mann und Frau ist noch nicht hergestellt, zeigt sie auf vielfältige Weise in ihren spannenden Büchern. Kritiker erhoben die Autorin darauf zur Mitschöpferin eines neuen Feminismus oder des Genres Domestic Noir, in dem jedes Reihenhaus das Zeug dazu hat, Schauplatz eines Verbrechens zu werden. Ich sprach auf der ARD-Bühne der Frankfurter Buchmesse mit Paula Hawkins. Mein Name ist Andreas Horchler. Welcome to the stage and the show, Paula
Thank
Hawkins.
Thank you. Is this on? Yeah.
It's a real pleasure having you. Are you still counting copies?
No. No, I stopped a while ago.
Also, sie hat schon eine Weile aufgehört damit zu zählen, wie viele Bücher sie verkauft. These days, would you refer to yourself as an author more or a book traveler? I know you've been here in Germany even for
a week. Yeah. I've been since Sunday. I've been in Berlin, Hamburg, Munich, Düsseldorf, Cologne, and Frankfurt. So it's been a little whirlwind tour, and this year I've been traveling all year pretty much. So lots of book traveling this year. Next year I'll just be writing.
Also nächstes Jahr will sie mal weniger in Sachen Buch unterwegs sein, um auch Werbung für die eigenen Bücher zu machen. So we have glasses of water here. Can you even drink a glass of water without, like, thinking of rivers, of cliffs, of mysteries yeah. unsolved, of drowning pools, of girls unable to take showers?
You know, I finished writing the book about a year ago now, so it's not like as fresh for me as it maybe is for the readers. But yeah, I spent 3 years in a very watery place in my head, creating this book, Into the Water, which has a river running through it, and that's very much the heart of the book is the water and all the terrible, sinister, evil things that happen around the water.
Also sie hat sich 3 Jahre lang mit Wasser in ihrem Kopf beschäftigt. Jetzt hat sie gar kein Problem mehr, Wasser zu trinken, wie wir gerade sehen. Der Gegenstand ist ein bisschen einfacher geworden für Paula Hawkins, weil sie auch vor einem Jahr mit dem Buch, wo es sehr stark um Wasser geht, um sehr dunkle Wassererfahrungen geht, sich damit beschäftigt hat und damit abgeschlossen hat. Paula Hawkins, I suppose Rachel from Girl on the Train and Jules from Into the Water are relatives in a sense that they are both rather darkish personalities, and as you in other occasions pointed out, they are women taking up too much space, troublesome women. Can you explain?
Yeah, both Rachel from The Girl on the Train and Jules from this novel, Into the Water, they're quite damaged, and they're not necessarily behaving in ways that society deems fit. Rachel, I suppose, is more extreme because she's a serious alcoholic, but Jules is a woman who is very troubled and very problematic. And this novel is full of troublesome, problematic women, women who perhaps aren't playing by society's rules. And I'm talking about women who do that now and women who have done that in the past, and all the ways that in which society or men or what have you try and push them back in their box or silence them or discipline them in some way.
Paula Hawkins sagt, die beiden zentralen Figuren, Rachel und Jules, einmal aus Girl on the Train und einmal aus Into the Water, sind schon sehr belastete Frauen, die auch von Männern zurückgepusht werden in klassische Rollenmodelle. Und das ist ein zentrales Thema eigentlich in beiden Romanen. Sie sagt, Rachel aus Girl on the Train ist noch etwas extremer. Und in Into the Water gibt es eben weit mehr Charaktere, die eben eine solche Rolle spielen. I found out that especially in Into the Water there are troublesome men out there also, quite some of them worth writing about. Have you ever thought of it like I mean, like Robbie from Into the Water, or a really dark a predator, if you want, and even Scott Hipwell from A Girl on the Train, troublesome man as well.
Oh yeah, I think all my characters are pretty much troublesome. None of them are straightforward or particularly likable, I don't think. And certainly I've created characters, the male characters in Into the Water, people have said they're all terrible. I don't actually think they're all very bad people. Some of them are trying to live good lives, perhaps not succeeding. Some of them are also themselves victims of violence or abuse. No one is straightforward. They're all difficult, complicated characters, and in particularly extreme, difficult situations, which are the kind of stories that I find fascinating.
Also es gibt durchaus auch Männer, auf die dieses Attribut durchaus Anwendung finden könnte, aber sie beschreibt eben mehr über die Frauen. Aber sie sagt ganz generell, das sind die Charaktere, die Beschwerten, die Schwierigen, die in eine schwierige Lebenslage gekommen sind, die sie viel mehr interessieren als andere Charaktere. Und deshalb schreibt sie über diese Menschen. In Girl on the Train, we obviously meet Rachel, a messed up person. I don't use the other term that has been quoted also. And Into the Water, it gets a little more complicated because we have simultaneously a lot of narratives going side by side and leading to one aim. And it's full of lies, disturbed police officers. We have Julia named Jules, her dead sister, her niece, a mourning mother, descendant of family witches from Northern England and other places, and many, many characters surrounding them, lies, mysteries. After the gigantic success of Girl on the Train, did you feel you had the freedom and the will and the inspiration to experiment even more?
Well, I actually started writing Into the Water before The Girl on the Train was published, before it became a huge success. So I had my characters, I had this idea for the story, I knew kind of the heart of it, this very troubled relationship between sisters and this creepy river where terrible things happen. So I had that. And then The Girl on the Train became a huge success, and so I was faced with new challenges, and I knew that whatever I wrote would attract attention. So that made me nervous, but I wanted to stay true to the heart of the book, and I wanted to be ambitious in the way that I told the story. And so there are 11 different narratives in this book, and we hear from all these different people, and I wanted the reader to feel like they were right in the middle of this community, listening to all these voices, trying to figure out who's telling the truth. And, you know, I'm not sure if I felt freer, but I tried to be brave. I'm not sure if it worked, but I wanted to be ambitious.
Paul Hawkins hat also schon angefangen mit Into the Water, als der große Erfolg von Girl on the Train überhaupt noch nicht zu ermessen war, und war einfach ambitioniert, diese 11 Erzählstränge von Personen, die alle in diesem Beckford in Nordengland aufeinandertreffen, miteinander zu verbinden. Und das, ob das ihr gelungen ist oder nicht, müssen die Kritiker und die Leser letztendlich, also sie, entscheiden, ob das funktioniert hat. Where is Beckford? Is there something like Beckfordish?
There is no Beckford. It's imaginary. I invented the town. The landscape that inspired it exists. So Northumberland is the northeast of England. If you go to Newcastle and keep going, before you get to Scotland, there's this county, which is very beautiful and green and watery and quite bleak. And it's quite empty by English standards. It's the least populated part of England. So it's a place that I find beautiful and quite dark, and you can imagine terrible, sinister things happening there. So that's where I set it, but I needed to create my own town because I wanted to give it a particular geography and a particular history in which to create my story.
Also Beckford gibt es nicht in Wirklichkeit. Im Nordosten Englands gibt es eine solche Landschaft, die sie sich als Rollenmodell genommen hat, aber sie musste eine eigene kleine Gemeinde erfinden, um alle ihre Charaktere dort unterzubringen und die schrecklichen Dinge, die dort passieren, in Into the Water. First-person narrative, this is kind of your thing, isn't it?
Well, it has been. I'm not sure that it will be forever. I like first-person narrative because I think you give the reader that very immediate connection with the character, so they're in that person's head straight away. And I think for some stories, it's the perfect way to tell a story. And in both books, that seemed to me the right way to tell it. However, I think all books are different, and the next story I tell might not be from a first person. I mean, it can be quite hard work, particularly if you have 11 narrators. I didn't make life very easy for myself, because then I had to create all these different voices, which is actually pretty tricky. So maybe next time it'll be third person, I don't know.
Also Ich-Erzählungen, das hat sie immer angezogen, besonders bei diesen beiden Romanen. Und sie schließt nicht aus, dass sich das nochmal ändern wird bei Werken, die in der näheren Zukunft kommen werden. Do you know your plot? Do you know your story once you start writing, especially in a complicated story like Into the Water, where you have to combine them of 11 characters?
I didn't actually know all of it. I like to know where it ends, who done it kind of thing, and why. But I like to leave plenty of space for things to change while I'm writing, because I think that the best writing and the most interesting ideas come to you when you're in the thick of it and you start making different connections and what have you. So I like to leave it a bit empty, a bit open, Again, that's not a simple way of doing things, because it means you have to rewrite and rewrite and rewrite to get everything to fit together in the way that it does.
Ja. Also sie weiß die Grundzüge ihrer Geschichte, wenn sie anfängt zu schreiben, auch so eine komplizierte Geschichte wie Into the Water, aber nicht jede Kleinigkeit. Sie lässt sich gerne mal überraschen, auch unterwegs im Schreibprozess, und hält das auch für sehr wichtig.
HR Info, das Interview.
Some biographical notes. You were born in Zimbabwe and raised until you were
17.
17.
Yeah.
How was it? How was it growing up there in the southern part of Africa?
I had a very nice, happy childhood, untroubled childhood. Not the sort of childhood you find in the books that I write. I lived in Harare. My father's an academic and a journalist, and. Yeah, I mean, it was strange in some ways. I suppose there was a civil war on when I was born, and when I first went to school, it was still a segregated society. There were still white schools and black schools and what have you. So the older I got, the more I realized that my happy childhood had come at quite a high price for other people. So during the 80s, I became more and more uncomfortable with that, and I was in some ways quite relieved to move to London, to a more civilized place.
Also sie wuchs
was civilized then anyway.
Sie wuchs in Zimbabwe auf. Ihr Vater war Journalist, Akademiker dort in Harare, eine tief gespaltene, nach Rassen gespaltene Gesellschaft zu dieser Zeit, in der Bürgerkrieg auch noch herrschte, und hatte aber eine behütete Kindheit, und nichts von den dunklen Charakteren, die in ihren Büchern auftauchen, hatten irgendetwas mit ihrer Kindheit dort zu tun, und mit 17 kamen sie dann nach London. So in London, you studied politics, economics, philosophy in Oxford, became a journalist for the Times, covering business, also writing business, one book, I think, at that time. And so along came the years of 2007 and 8, financial crises around the world, and life changed for you. Pretty suddenly at that point too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was working as a freelancer then. By that time, I'd left the Times, and there was suddenly not so much money around for freelancers anymore. And I had been offered the opportunity to write a romantic comedy novel under a pseudonym, and so I started doing that. And I wrote four books under the pseudonym, three of which I think are available in Germany, actually. And two of them did okay, but then the last one was a disaster, and it took me 2 years to write, and it just didn't sell at all. So I made no money at all. So I was in kind of a low situation at that point.
Sie studierte in Oxford Philosophie, Politik und Wirtschaft, und wurde dann Journalistin bei der Times in England. Dann kam natürlich die Weltwirtschaftskrise, Finanzkrise 2007, 2008. Sie wurde Freelancerin, freie Mitarbeiterin und fing an, romantische Romane zu schreiben unter einem Pseudonym. Und das war Amy Silver, 4 Romane insgesamt. Und das 4. davon ging wahnsinnig schlecht. Und dann ging es ihr auch finanziell plötzlich gar nicht mehr ganz so gut. So, would you describe yourself as being broke at that time?
I was pretty hard up. I had to borrow money from my father, which is quite humiliating when you're 41, which is what I was. So it was a bad time. But in a way, now looking back on it, I think this is how you rewrite your history, isn't it? Because I now think about all that, the self-loathing and despair that I felt at the time, and which all of that went into Rachel. That was how Rachel became Rachel, was from all my unhappiness.
Also sie war zu dieser Zeit quasi pleite, musste sich Geld bei ihrem Vater leihen als erwachsene Frau. Und sie sagt, unheimlich viel aus dieser Zeit ihrer finanziellen Pleite ging in die Charaktere und in den Charakter von Rachel, insbesondere aus Girl on the Train hinein. Let's try some yes or no's at that time. Wir versuchen mal Ja und Nein Fragen ein paar. Ordinary lives go wrong. Is this the core of your storytelling? Einfache Leben, die schiefgehen. Ist das das Zentrum Ihres Schreibens?
Yes.
Ja, genau, das ist es. Spies and serial killers are not exactly my cup of tea.
That's correct. True.
Also Spione.
Is that a yes or a no? I don't know.
All right.
No, they're not my thing.
Also Spione und Serienkiller sind nicht wirklich das, worüber sie schreiben möchte. Writing is a refuge.
Yes, very much so.
Also man kann sich flüchten ins Schreiben. Happy endings are boring.
Happy endings are good in real life, but I'm not so interested in them in fiction.
Also sie ist nicht so sehr interessiert an Happy Ends. Life itself is shaped by catastrophe.
True, yes, I think it is.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Leben wird geformt von Katastrophen. Everybody lies.
True.
Jeder lügt. Das ist eine Wahrheit, glaubt sie. Emily Blunt, main character in Girl on the Train, in the movie, is credible as being a really troublesome woman being scared of herself.
Yes, I believe so.
Emily Blunt, die Hauptdarstellerin war in der Verfilmung von Girl on the Train, hat das gut gemacht und glaubwürdig gemacht. Critics who expected a Girl on the Train 2.0 in Into the Water got it completely wrong, and therefore some of them are rather unfair in their criticism.
Who said that?
I'm saying that.
Oh, you're
I'm
saying
just
that.
Confronting
oh, sorry.
This.
Okay.
Yeah. Those
you know, I'm not going to say the critics were unfair. I think not everybody. I'm not going to criticize the critics. You know, if they don't like the book, they don't like the book. It didn't please everyone. It's. I thought I was doing the right thing. I was being ambitious. I didn't want to write The Girl on the Train again. And if you don't, if that's what you wanted, well, I'm sorry, but. I'm not doing that.
Also das konnte keine Ja- oder Nein-Antwort werden. Die Frage war, Kritiker, die ein Girl on the Train 2.0 erwartet haben, die haben etwas Falsches erwartet. Und manche Kritiker waren deshalb unfair. Sie sagt, das war ein ganz anderer Schreibprozess und sie wollte einfach keine Nachfolge, keinen zweiten Teil von Girl on the Train schreiben. Let's turn to our box. We have inside our show, HR Info, das Interview. We also always have a box with something surprising for our guests. And let's see, let's unwrap this and try it. Also wir haben unsere Box hier bei HR Info, immer das Interview. Und wir öffnen die mal und gucken mal, was drin ist. So,
I'm
you
scared.
Might open
I'm
it.
I'm scared of the box.
You don't need to be scared, no?
Okay,
come
how
on.
Does the box open?
Are there? Let's see what's inside. Wir gucken mal, was drin ist.
Oh my God.
Okay, let me do one little thing here. So, also, meine Damen und Herren, wir haben hier einen kleinen Donald Trump, eine Puppe. Und,
wow, thank you.
So,
so
if you're, it says in German, wenn du Stress hast, box me. If
you
you're stressed, box me. So, one more time. Okay. He dropped.
Oh,
he
it.
Dropped. She loves it. Wonderful.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much.
So there's this genre discussion going on, and therefore I implemented this little Donald Trump guy here also, because you said something in Berliner Zeitung, a German newspaper recently, that you are associated with something called New Feminism many times and through critics and so forth, and the role of women still being defined by repression, and this is pretty strong in your books also. And you said that through this president, number 45 in the United States, this, in a sense, became a got a voice also. Mm-hmm. Can you explain a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was talking about the fact that people like to tell us that there's no need for feminism anymore. It's, you know, you've got what you wanted, you're equal now, it's all over. And yet you look around yourself and you look around the world and at the violence that is still, inflicted on women on a day-to-day basis. You look at the statistics from countries all over the world of violence against women. And I believe there's still work to be done. And I think the fact that you can a man who openly boasts about assaulting or harassing women can be elected to be president is another sign of what we have yet to do. And I mean, if you read the newspapers this week, you'll see just how far in some industries there is to go before women have equality.
Also, sie sagt, Frauenrechte werden auf der Welt, und da braucht man nur die Zeitung zu aufzuschlagen, auch die heutige beispielsweise, nach wie vor auf der Welt mit Füßen getreten. Und ein gewisses Symbol dafür ist durchaus, dass ein Mensch, der sich als Frauenfeind in diesem Wahlkampf zum Beispiel aufgeführt hat, in den Vereinigten Staaten, Präsident werden konnte in den Vereinigten Staaten. You might punch him again if you want. So, let us talk about your future plans. So, you've been traveling in Germany, basically all over the world, this huge success that maybe even would grant you to retire if you wanted to. So,
not yet. I have another book to write for my publishers, so I can't retire yet.
All right.
I don't think I'm a retiring sort of person. I think I enjoy...
You're way too young for that anyway, so...
I genuinely enjoy writing. I genuinely enjoy creating the story. So that part of it, I don't think I can... I hope that I will always have that passion, that interest. Maybe I won't always want to run around the world promoting, but it's, you know, it's part of what we do. It's and there is a lot about it that is wonderful, of meeting the readers and having connection with readers. It's a huge privilege, and it's so great to get to talk to people and hear their views and meet other writers and meet interesting journalists and all that kind of thing. So I can't complain.
Also sie findet Schreiben immer noch sehr interessant. Sie hat auch noch einen Vertrag mit ihrem Verlag. Also sie muss noch schreiben. Sie darf noch nicht in Rente gehen, obwohl sie 20 Millionen Bücher alleine von Girl on the Train verkauft hat. Das passiert sehr, sehr selten in der heutigen Buchwelt, ein solcher Erfolg. Und sie hat auch noch Lust zu schreiben. Sie hat Lust, Menschen wie Sie hier zu treffen oder auch mal interessante Journalisten zu treffen. Also sie ist keineswegs müde. What can we expect? Can we expect something on a maybe more light note, less dark?
No.
Oh.
More darkness.
Come on.
And I think it's going to be even darker, the next book. I haven't started writing properly, but I've got my characters in my head, and it's a very, very dark story indeed. I'm sorry. You can't expect any happiness from me anytime soon.
Es wird kein fröhliches Buch geben. Wer das sich gewünscht hat, wird leider enttäuscht. Es wird eher in der Tendenz, was die ersten Ideen fürs neue Buch angeht, noch dunkler werden. Das können Sie von Paula Hawkins erwarten. Thank you. It's been truly a pleasure and honor to have you here.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks. And thank you for Donald.
Thank you.
Can I
like
him?
Of course.
Yeah.
Das war HR Info, das Interview mit Paula Hawkins, als Podcast auch auf hrinforadio.de. Mein Name ist Andreas Horchler.